Thanks for checking out the Root Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message encourages you.
God, if you got a Bible, reach for it. Turn with me quickly to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 22 is where we're going to be reading from. And today, we're starting together. Cherie, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. We're starting a collection of talks called Love on the Weekend. And it's sort of exactly what it sounds like. We're talking about love on the weekends here at VU Church. Talking really about all things relationship, marriage, dating, sex, all of it. And I would encourage you to jump on board. Today is the perfect day to be here because you're starting from the very get-go, the beginning. And you should just continue. You should make a commitment saying, I'm going to go all 3 weeks in a row. Yeah. And you watch as God begins to speak to you in your relationships. I believe it's going to be a powerful time. We're going to look at a famous couple of verses. And for those of you that are seasoned Christians, you might already know this verse. Others of you, maybe it's your first time to church. So happy you're here. I believe there's some powerful truth for all of us to catch from it. Matthew 22, verse 33. And Cherie, I think you sound so good when you read the Bible.
Stop.
Why are you giggling like that?
You're flirting.
Oh my God, I wasn't. I was giving you an assignment, a mission
from
God.
Would you like me to read?
My God, move on. Awesome. All right, yes. Absolutely, I want you to read.
Matthew chapter 22, so this verse is titled, The Greatest Commandment. Verse 34 says, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments.
I like that. It's a beautiful passage. And today on this first installment of this collection of talks, we want to preach to you from the subject, it's not you, it's me. It's not you, it's me. Over in the overflow, it's not you, it's me. Everyone, look at your neighbor and say, it's not you.
It's not you.
It's me.
And babe, it's not you, it's me.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much that you're here. We thank you for your word, Lord, which is alive and active. Lord, today, I pray that you would do work in this house, that you would change us and transform us, shape us, form us, develop us into the men and women you've called us to be. Lord, bless our relationships. Bless our marriages, God. We want to grow stronger. In Jesus' mighty and holy name, everybody said?
Amen.
Come on, everybody said?
Amen.
Come on, from the overflow to the main auditorium, can we go ahead and give God a big shout of praise? Come on, 1 p.m., remind yourself. I don't know if you've discovered this truth, but it's a truth that I know to be true, and that is that love is hard. In fact, good relationships take a lot of work. Most of us in this room, we're probably in agreement to the fact that we all want a relationship that works. Where we forget many times that if you want a relationship that works, it's going to take work to make that happen. It's going to take real training. It's going to take real resourcing. It's going to take real developing. It's going to take real evaluating. You know, Cherie and I, we're constantly trying to evaluate our relationship, evaluate our marriage. Why? Because we want our marriage to get better, not get worse. I'm one of these kind of guys, and maybe you're like me. I was the guy who was counting down the days until I turned 16. Why? Because at 16, you can get your driver's license, and to me, that meant freedom. And so I was marking down the 6 months out, I had it on my calendar, could not wait. I was counting the days down. Finally, the day that I turned 16, I was the guy who got to the DMV before the workers showed up, okay? I'm there. I'm ready. This is the day I'm taking my driving exam. I can't wait. I'd already passed my written exam. Now I'm going in for the driving test. I sit down with the gentleman. We don't even leave the parking lot, okay? We're in the parking lot. He asked me to park the car. Not parallel park, just park. There was four cones, two at the front, two at the back, orange cones. And he just said, Mr. Wilkerson, can you park the car? I said, of course I can park the car. And so I go to park the car, and as I go in, I notice I'm getting close to that orange cone. And so I put the car in reverse, and I back up one time. I come back in, not nearly still as perfect, so I back it up a second time. I try to go a second. You know what? I need it one more. I back it up a third time. Third time I back it up, I finally put that car in perfectly, never touched the cone. As I parked it, he said, "Mr. Wilkerson, you just failed." I say, "Excuse me?" He said, "Yeah, you can only back up the car two times." I said, "Bro, it would have been nice if you would have told me that. I could have made it on that second one." I failed my driving exam. Anyone else fail your driving exam? Yeah, there we are.
In good company.
Okay, praise God. Messed up. Oh, man. In good company?
We're all together in this.
Too soon, babe. Too soon. State of Florida said I was not allowed to drive a car. Didn't pass my driving exam. Why? Because there was qualifications and there was an exam that had to be taken in order to qualify me legal and safe to drive a motor vehicle. Now, what's the idea behind a driver's license? The idea of a driver's license is that somebody is saying that you have passed enough tests and we now believe that you are safe to drive. We don't want you to crash your car. What's ironic is that we live in a world today that it's harder to drive a car than it is to get married. We're handing the keys to people to get married. They've never been trained. They have no qualifications. They have no idea what they're doing. And we wonder, why do so many marriages crash? Why do so many people self-implode? Why do so many people walk the road of destruction instead of stepping into their destiny? Wow. Research now tells us that 50%, not outside the church, but 50% even within the church, marriages are ending in divorce. Could it be that many people are jumping into marriage and they haven't taken the time to get training? They haven't taken the time to get resource? They haven't taken the time to evaluate where they actually are? Here's our prayer. Our prayer for you is that on your journey in relationships, that you would get the training, that you would get the resources that you need, not to crash, but to finally make it into the destiny God has for you. You might be going, why are we doing a collection of talks on relationships? This is the reason why. The reason why is all of us, we could use some help in the relationship category.
Yeah, every single person in this room, no matter what stage of life you're in, you have relationships in your life. So whether you are married or single, whether you're not looking to date anyone, the truth of the matter is that God's word gives us the map that we need for our relationships to flourish. Yeah. And if you'll lean in and open up your heart, God wants to speak to you. There's a misconception in our society that marriage is outdated, that it's antiquated, that it doesn't work, that there's no way for someone to fall more in love with another person and go the distance decade after decade. And I hear people say that often to me, whether it's over coffee or in passing. Yeah, they don't even believe in marriage. They're not open to it. And I don't ever think that it really comes from a place of pride, like, oh no, they know a better way, or they just have a better plan. I think it really comes from a place of pain. I think it comes from a place of looking around and not having one example of a marriage that is full of love after decades of doing the journey together, of walking through a divorce, and now wondering, is it even possible? And we're going to discuss God's plan for relationship, because I have news for you. Truth does not change. God has created you not just to have relationships that are good, but to have relationships that are great. And I don't know about you, I don't want to settle for anything less than God's best. Rich and I, we've been married for 10 years. And I can tell you honestly that this year has been the best year of our marriage thus far. Because it was the easiest? No, it wasn't the easiest, I'll be honest. But it was the best. And God's plan is that our relationship, they flourish. And I have a suspicion that if you're honest, you'd say, I don't want my relationships just to be good. I want my relationships to be great. So we're going to open up God's word and hear what he has to say about this.
The reason why great relationships are possible is because if Jesus is in the mix, all things are possible. And truth be told, Jesus cares about your relationships. He cares about your relationship with your parents. He cares about your relationship with your kids. He cares about your relationship with your boss. He cares about your relationship with your spouse. He cares about your relationship with your boyfriend, your girlfriend. He actually has some answers to help you on that journey. The other day, Don Shree and I, we were at lunch, and we were eating at one of our favorite restaurants, and the server there that was helping us, we found out that she goes to VU Church. And so we started talking, and she just started to express how VU Church has made an impact in her life. And as we were talking, I just said, hey, is there anything that we can pray for you about. I always think it's fun to partner with people in prayer and to hear what's in their heart. And you can all of a sudden be a part of whatever it is that God's doing in their life just by praying for them. And so she started to describe to me this job that she's hoping to get. It's sort of her dream job. And we said, you know what, we're going to pray for you. And she walked away. We continued our meal and we kind of wrapped up the day. And as we were leaving, she came and she found me. She said, Pastor Rich, oh yeah, one more thing. Can you pray that I find a boyfriend? I said, absolutely, I'm going to pray you find a boyfriend. Why? Because God actually cares about that. I think sometimes we think that we are, you know, kind of disturbing God when we pray about certain things, and we think that's not a big enough thing to bring to God. The truth of the matter is that God cares about big things, and God cares about small things. If it matters to you, guess what? It matters to God. And really, what we discover here in this scripture found in Matthew, this is a very, very well-known scripture, yet there is some powerful truth that shapes and gives us wonderful foundation towards our relationships. Jesus gives us some incredible answers. The Bible says that the Pharisees, they came to Jesus, and they had this question, and they were really trying to stump him. They were trying to catch him in a lie. They were trying to catch him, you know, with a double standard. They said, yo, Jesus, what is the greatest commandment in all the world? This is what Jesus says. He says, the greatest commandment in all of the world is to love God with all of your heart, soul, and mind. Now listen, this right here is the premise and the foundation for every other relationship. Until you actually get your relationship with God right, your other relationships will never be what they could be. Until you make God the foundation of all of your relationships, well, then guess what? All of your other relationships, they might happen, but they're not going to happen the way that they could happen. Then Jesus goes on and he says something just as significant. He says the second commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, maybe you've been around church, and so maybe you've heard this phrase, and a lot of churches say it, and it's a good phrase to say it, but the phrase is simply this. We say, you know, love God and love people. And that's absolutely beautiful. Love God, love people. Yet, when we say that, we're not actually quoting the scripture correctly. Because Jesus doesn't just say love God and love people. He actually tells us how to love people. What does he say? He says love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and then love your neighbor as yourself. Well, this is good stuff right here, because this is the foundation for every healthy relationship. And that is, until you love yourself, you're never going to be fit to love someone else. If you don't love you, well, then guess what? You're not going to love anybody else around you. Why? Because hurt people hurt people. If you don't like you, don't expect to like your spouse. Some of you, you're mad at your spouse, but down deep, if you would just pause for a minute, you're not actually mad at your spouse, you're mad at yourself. Some of us, we behave like we're really angry at our kids, and we finally have these outbursts, and we're always getting angry at our kids, but we're not actually angry with our kids. Down deep, we're angry, and we're unsatisfied with who we are. You're never going to encourage someone if you yourself are not encouraged. Why? Because you can't give that which you don't have. So Jesus, he speaks to us. And right here in Matthew, what he reveals to us is that many of us, we see the gospel from a one-dimensional perspective. We think the gospel is simply this. Jesus Christ came to fix our vertical relationship with God. He came to restore us. He came to remove sin. He came so that we could have communication, relationship with God. And that is true. Yet that's just one dimension of the gospel. When you really start to grasp what Jesus did, the cross, it fixes your vertical relationship. But come on, look at the cross fully. It always also fixes our horizontal relationships. Jesus and his message, it fixes us with our parents. It fixes us with our kids. It fixes us with our spouse, with our boyfriend, with our girlfriend. It fixes our horizontal relationships. Come on, 1 p.m. Can we make a little bit of noise in this place? So Jesus is saying, first you gotta love God, but secondly, here it is, you gotta love you. A lot of us, we don't love ourselves, and because of it, we take it out on other people. There's a little acronym that I grew up with in Sunday school. It was on the side of the wall, and it said, joy, Jesus, others, you. And it sounds beautiful, and I like it, and I'm not trying to come and be Mr., you know, controversial today. But really, you can't truly love others until you love yourself. And Jesus, when he gives this principle, he's assuming that you're secure in your identity in Christ. And he says, that's why you should love your neighbor as yourself. I can't give that which I don't have. So before I can even talk about other people and how to do better with other people, I gotta look out and decide, how am I treating myself? How do I view myself? Do I love myself enough to actually show love to other people? How many out there, you ever went through a breakup? Someone ever dumped you? Okay, don't raise your hand. I get it. happened to me. Lindsay D, 10th grade. I'll never forget that. Unbelievable. I didn't know the best was yet to come. Praise God. I just died in your arms tonight. It must have been something you said. So she came to break up with me, and this is what she said to me. She said, "Hey, Rich, you know, it's not really working out." And I said, what are you talking about? I'm loving this. This is going good. I'm in 10th grade. You're a senior. Come on, let's go. Always had high standards. She said, here's the deal. It's not you. It's me. How many ever heard that before? Yeah, you dated her too. I get it. I know. Okay. And the reality of it was is that when this was said, how many of you know that this is a cop-out statement that many people use as a cliche many times in relationships? What they're really saying is, hey, I don't like you, I'm done with you, this ain't gonna work, but let me just say it's not you, it's me, because it sounds better. Yet, if we can be honest for a minute, one of the healthiest statements you will ever say in your relationships is this phrase right here. It's not you, it's me. What I mean by that is this, is that many of us, we are fixated and focused on changing the other person. The problem is that you can't change other people. And so you strip yourself from your power, and you strip yourself from responsibility, and you create layers of excuses to say, I would change if they would change. I would love if they would love. I would be nice if she would be nice. I would forgive if he would forgive me. The problem with that is that real relationships and healthy relationships are made up of healthy individuals. And before you can ever actually get into a healthy relationship, you yourself have to get healthy. And the way that you get healthy is by saying, it's not you, it's me. I need to improve. I need to get better. I need to change. Before I can love you, I have to love me. And Don Shree, I really believe that if we're going to see healthy relationships occur at VU Church, it's going to only happen with healthy individuals. And what you and I have discovered throughout the years of counseling and talking and being on this journey of marriage and relationship is that many times we can get our focus on the wrong things. We can make our priorities on the wrong things. We can get things out of order. And I think today we've kind of got a few notes here that I think is going to help people put their eyes on the right thing and get healthy individually so that they can actually love effectively.
Right. I think that as we walk out these doors today, the goal is that as we open up the Word of God, that we really understand that God wants to do something in your life.
Yeah.
He wants to do something in your heart today. And you know, this message isn't for the person sitting next to you. Let's point the finger back at us and understand that as we do that, freedom comes, right? And as we look at this thought, it's not you, it's me, through the lens of God's word, the first thought that we want to discuss is it's not getting, it's becoming. Mm. It's not getting in relationships, it's becoming. You talk to people often and, you know, you have a list of who you're looking for. I have 5 brothers and so I've often asked them, what's your type? I can't wait for my brothers who aren't married to meet the woman of their dreams. But what's your type? Or girls have their, you know, their list of what they're looking for in a guy. I'm praying for this. I'm asking for this. And so often it's about what we're getting when really the question should be, who am I becoming? Mm. Who am I becoming right now? And the Word of God gives us some clarity on that, that you are always becoming something, right? This is what it says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. You are always becoming. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do, which God created in advance. God prepared in advance for you to do. So God has taken the time to prepare your path. Before you even took your first breath, he had prepared a journey for you. Nothing about your life is by accident. He wants to unveil a journey that you could never even dream of. What are you doing to prepare for the journey? What are you doing right now to prepare? Because if you're not preparing, you are unprepared. If you're not preparing right now, you are unprepared to walk into what God has for you. For the person waiting today to meet the person they're going to go through life with, maybe you'd say, Don Shree, I'm done preparing. Like, I'm ready. Let's go. Like, the timer already went off a while ago. I'm just waiting for God to, like, let him show up. Let her walk into my world. I would say to you, absolutely not. You're not waiting. Your life is not on pause because you're single. You are not at a stop sign. You should be becoming. You should be growing. You should be running. You should be stretching. And that person who comes alongside you better have to run to catch up with you because you are so set on the prize that God has put in front of you. You have a purpose. Does anybody believe it in the overflow? Do you believe it today? It's true. In your marriage, you should constantly be preparing. Why? Because where you are today is not where you will be tomorrow. God has more for your marriage. There are seasons that you will walk through that you have not walked through before. And you're going to need to grow. You're going to need to stretch. So the question is, who are you becoming? How are you preparing? Preparation should last a lifetime. We should always be growing into who God has called us to be. But so often we're focused on what we're getting, right? Like, it starts out, Rick's one of our favorite songs is that Bruno Mars song, "'Cause you're amazing just the way you are." I love that song. And you know, it sounds really nice. It's a great thought, you're amazing just the way you are. But is that really the conversation in our home? I think it's like, you'd be amazing if you'd just get off your phone. Or you'd be amazing if you'd just pick up your clothes. Or you'd be amazing if you just turn off the TV. These are all hypothetical, okay? These are hypothetical. I love you, babe. But so often, we're not saying you're amazing just the way you are. We're saying, I need this. I need this to change. Can you do this? It would be great if this stopped, if this began. We're always looking for what we want to get. And fulfillment doesn't start there. Fulfillment starts when you say, who am I becoming?
Yeah.
I can't change someone else, but I can allow my life and my purpose to expand. And I can allow God to change me from the inside out. Who are you becoming today? You say, what do you mean? Well, so often we're focused on what we're getting. Okay, I got to get into that relationship. I got to get that ring. I got to get that wedding. I got to get that home. I've got to get that raise. I've got to get that larger home. I've got to get a family started. I've got to get my retirement set up. I've got to get the membership to the country club. I got to get a larger place for the grandkids. And we focus on getting, getting, getting when you have missed the true worth of your life. And that is from the inside out. That purpose and peace and love and joy would fulfill you. Let me tell you what's going to complete your life. It's not adding on to your home or getting that car. The peace of God will fulfill you more in your home than anything that you could ever pay for or get or secure. But we're focused on getting, not becoming. I heard someone say it like this once. Are you the one you're looking for is looking for? In other words, while you're so focused on looking, You're stagnant and not growing, and may it not be that you waste your time sitting at a stop sign of life while waiting for the one you're looking for to show up, and when they show up, you are not the person they are looking for. It's time to point the finger at ourselves and go, God, you're able, through your word. When I open it up, I can't change myself. I can't bear the fruit of the Spirit on my own. Love, joy, peace, patience, kind. I can't do it on my own. But your word allows me to become all that I was created to be. Lord, when I talk to you, like for real, when I really share what's on my heart with you, when I value a relationship with you above all these other relationships, when I put my priorities straight, all of a sudden I become who I was called to be. When I allow the Holy Spirit to cultivate me from the inside out, beneath the soil where no one else can see, in the soil of my heart, below the surface, all of a sudden I start to become who I was created to be. And I become the one that I'm looking for is looking for.
That's beautiful. I think that this is fundamental that we catch this in our relationships, because in relationships, like Don Cherie is saying, the misconception is if I get this, then I'm going to be happy. But the truth is you're going to be happy when you become the person God's called you to be. And I think I want to speak for a moment to all those Christians out there who have your very specific, detailed, incredible list of qualities that you're looking for in a person. I love it. Pray precise, specific prayers. Just make sure as you're praying those prayers that you're becoming those things you're praying for. Just make sure that as you have that list of that perfect man or that perfect girl, are you those things? See, if you go, hey, my wife's not nice, the question is, husband, are you nice? My wife doesn't forgive. Do you forgive? What can you become today instead of focusing on what you can get today? Number two, because we're talking about healthy individuals for a moment, is that it's not falling, it's choosing. It's not falling, it's choosing. Let me explain myself. We live in a world today that we are addicted to love. We're obsessed with love. We love love. We love falling in love. Oh my goodness, I love it. I love it. Have you noticed that all of us are consumed with fairy tales? You ever notice that fairy tales always end with people falling in love? My question is Eric and Ariel from The Little Mermaid, are they still together? Like, did Jasmine and Aladdin make it in the Taj Mahal? Like, are they still going? Is Simba and Nala, is the pride still strong? Have the kids grown in God's house? Are they still loving each other? Is it still the circle of life all the way over there in Lion King world? Because we're great at falling in love. Where we are miserable when we make mistakes is that we're not good at staying in love. In fact, next week, that's what I want to speak to you about precisely, is about staying in love. But part of it, what it comes down to, is that we think love is a feeling, but it's not. It's not about falling. It's about choosing. Love is a choice. It's not a feeling. We're obsessed with butterflies. Oh, my goodness. The problem with butterflies is they fly away. And many of us, as quick as we fall into love, we fall out of love. Because you don't fall into love, you choose love. Remember when Don Tree and I, when we were first getting to know one another? Man, it was just like, you ever notice like when you're in love, like everything's good, right? Yeah. Nothing is good. Yeah. What are you doing? Nothing. Oh, it sounds so beautiful, you know? What are you doing? Nothing. You are my dream, my God. Because we're falling in love. And today, what we have with so many people, especially in a millennial 2017 generation, is that we're so impatient, we're so right now, that we have reduced this word love into an emotion, into a feeling. And because of it, people, as quick as they fall in love, will be as quick as they fall out of love. Yeah. See, there's a myth out there, and here's the myth. Let me speak to the single people for a moment. A lot of the married people are going to start nodding their heads here in a moment because they know this to be true, but you don't find it out until you get married. And the myth is that there's a perfect person out there for me. This is a myth. Because the perfect person, if I marry the perfect person, then my life will be perfect. It's a myth that this one person is going to make my life perfect. So how do we typically, most people today, how do they choose that perfect person? They choose it off this word called chemistry. We have chemistry. I can't even explain it. We just talk for hours. It's just, oh, he gets me. She turns me on, man. I feel something. It's this chemistry thing. Yet, most of us in the room, those that are married, we know that give it some weeks, give it some years. At some point, that chemistry, at times, it can seem like it's missing. It can seem like it's gone. The problem is if you got married based upon chemistry, what will happen is that when the chemistry seems to be gone, you'll think that's a sign that you should get out. So what people do is they get addicted to chemistry. So they get married based upon chemistry. When the chemistry leaves, what's their knee-jerk reaction? You know what we need now? We need something new. We need a baby. And how many broken, dysfunctional, screwed up marriages decide, you know what we need right now because the feelings are gone is, let's have a baby. And then we bring a baby into this messed up, jacked up picture thinking that that baby's going to bring about new chemistry. The problem is that you're making decisions not on love, but on lust. You're making decisions not on devotion, but on emotion. You're making decisions not on information, but on infatuation. And it's cheap, and it's not real. And all you have to do is open up God's word, and there you'll discover what love looks like. And every quality and definition of love, it doesn't sound like a feeling. It sounds a whole lot more like a choice. Now listen to me. I love this girl. I get butterflies to this day. 15 years into this whole thing, she makes me feel all sorts of stuff. But there's a lot of days where there's no chemistry. And if my whole thing was based on chemistry, I would be out the door. She would be out the door. But there's something deeper that we're trying to build on. Love is a choice. What is love? We're going to talk about it next week. Love is patient. Love is kind. Does not envy. It does not boast. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but always rejoices in the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always perseveres. Love never fails. Now, as you go through that list of those things, you go through that list and tell me how often you feel those things. Can I make a confession? Here we go. Some of you are going to leave the church after this. I'm your pastor, and guess what? I don't think I've ever felt patient in my life. Oh, that feels so good to tell you guys that. Oh, wow. You're still here. Oh, we're going to make it. We're going to make it. Oh, I can't believe you're still in the church. Okay. Like, I've never woken up going, oh, God, yeah. Make me wait today, Lord. Oh, Lord, I dare put some traffic in my way. See how I deal with it. Yeah. Take me to the DMV. I love the DMV. Created me a clean heart, God. I can't wait to be patient today. Never prayed it. I've never felt patient. Yet real love is patient. Because real love perseveres. And real love sticks around even when the chemistry fades. Even when the butterfly flew away. I'm not leaving. I'm not moving. I'm not going. My love is based on not what I fell into, but what I chose to walk into. And if you're going to be a healthy individual, you got to catch this. Because if you're going around from relation to relationship, or if you're in a marriage right now going, it's just bad because we don't feel like we did when we were 17. You're not 17 anymore. You got to have to fight to create some feelings. You're going to have to choose to make that commitment. You're going to have to build on something bigger than that. And it needs to be a choice. And I see so many relationships get sabotaged because they're walking around hoping they fall into something. And the reality of it is that biblical love and love that God has for us and the love that he wants us to have for one another, especially our spouse or the person we're going to partner with, it can't be based just on your emotions and your fleeting feelings. It's got to be grounded on something bigger. It's got to be a decision and a choice that you make. Listen to me. If you want to be healthy today, if you want to make sure you're taking care of yourself so you can love others properly, believe this truth. Get your focus off of falling. Put your focus back onto choosing. Come on, if you believe it, give God a big shout of praise.
So good. It's an awakening moment in all of our lives when we realize that the price has already been paid. Mm. That Jesus gave his life on Calvary. He rose again 3 days later so that you would have the power to choose.
Yeah.
So that you'd have the power to choose to trust God in tough seasons. So you'd have the power to choose patience, even when you don't feel like being patient. The price has been paid for you to have the power to walk in complete freedom. So why would we want to be driven by our emotions? It's time for us to awaken that we can have healthy relationships because of our relationship with Christ. And, you know, we're going to close in just a moment. But as we talk about, it's not you, it's me. The last thought today is, it's not hiding, it's healing.
Come on, it's great.
It's not hiding, it's healing. Why do marriages fall apart? Why do families go through tough seasons where they don't talk to a sibling for years or because something happens? Why do we experience the brokenness we do? Because we bring our past relationships into our relationship. We bring the baggage of life in, and it affects things. Why is church not this pristine, perfect, always wonderful place? Because we're real people with real issues.
Right.
And every one of us walk in this door with all of our past experience, our past wounds, our past hurt. But God never intended you to walk through these doors in church and to walk in and to look nice and to get your coffee and to slap a smile on your face and to act like everything is okay and walk out these doors still hiding the pain and the wounds in your heart. Maybe today you'd walk in, and if you were really honest, the questions in your heart, you're going, God, is it even possible? Maybe you're sitting in the overflow. Is it possible for my marriage to be healed? Is it possible for me to get past this addiction that I deal with every single day, no matter how many times I promise that I'm going to move past it? It always overtakes me again. Is it possible for me to be able to walk into a healthy relationship when I experience so much abuse? Is it possible for this marriage that I'm in now to work when the last one failed? Is it possible, God? The word promises us that all things are possible through our God. We talked in January that our God is the God of second chances. I don't care what has happened in your past. If you are here today, it's because God has a purpose and a plan for your life. But a chance is a chance. We talked about it. A chance is a chance for you to make a choice so that a change can occur from the inside out. And may we never walk in this place and think the purpose is to hide all the wounds in our heart. That is not the message of the gospel. The message of the gospel is that Jesus shed his blood so that you could walk in complete freedom. So that the wounds and the tender areas of your life and the parts of your heart that you don't want to share with anyone, that God, your creator, would be able to heal. Not you piece together and try to fix it, but that God would be able to heal. But so often the enemy lies to us and says, no, you should just keep it to yourself. Isolate yourself. So you watch people go really hard for a season in church, and then they get uncomfortable as the hiding, as the light starts to shine in, so they back away. I need space. And they're isolating themselves because it feels better for the moment. And the enemy knows if he can isolate you, that you won't walk into the freedom that God paid for already. It's paid for. It's done. Will you walk out of hiding? I had a couple say to me a few years ago, they'd been going through a roller coaster. They were dating up and down, broken up one day, together the next. And they said, you know, we're done talking about our relationship with anyone else. We've just decided that we're only going to talk to each other. We're not going to share anything about our relationship with anyone else. We're just going to figure it out between us. I said, you know, you can do that. You're an adult. But I have to tell you, it goes against what the Word of God says. Proverbs 12 says, a fool is wise in his own eyes. Mm. But let me tell you, there's strength in counseling. There's security in walking on the journey with those that have gone before you. There is health in opening up your life first to God and then within a safe community. But instead, we isolate ourselves. We walk into church, everything's fine, leave the same way, never allowing God to speak to our heart. Mm. We go to crew. We never speak to our crew leader, our small group leader, about the issues at home, the struggles at home. There is health waiting for you, but no one can choose for you to walk out of hiding. You've got to make the decision. Over Christmas, I was given a gift, and it came in the mail. I love getting gifts in the mail. It's just something fun about old school mail. I opened it up. It was wrapped so beautifully. It had a big ribbon, had a sweet note from a dear friend of ours. But when I opened up the gift, it was shattered on the inside, completely broken. And so often in our lives, we can go down the street and buy a magazine for the headline that says, "Three Tips to Spice Up Your Romance." You'd waste $4 because it may last for a day, but only truth will change you. Only truth will sustain you. And we can wrap it up nice, and we can make the bow beautiful, and it can look perfect from the outside. But if you are broken on the inside, there's only one person. That's your Creator who can heal you. You know, I didn't send it back to our friends and say, hey, can you guys duct tape this thing together because I can't actually use it. I went to the store where it was created. I went to the manufacturer. And I took it and I returned it, and I was given a brand new one in return. And God does not want to super glue your life together, put a bandage on it, and call it a day. God, if you will surrender the weak areas of your life, He wants to give you a brand new one. He wants to heal you. He wants to restore you. He wants to break the chains of bondage and the lies of the enemy. Come out of the darkness and into His glorious light.
Beautiful.
May it happen today for you. Just like it has for so many of us in this room. It's real. And His love sustains you through every season of your life. The truth that I found in Jesus is the same truth that I come back to season after season to sustain my marriage, season after season to sustain the relationships in my life. His truth doesn't change. It's not you, it's me.
Our community at VU Church aims to reach our city and beyond with the life-transforming message of Jesus. Thank you for your support. If you want to further connect with us, you can find us online at vuchurch.com or on any social media platform at vuchurch.